Several times as we have taught through this series, several times as we have conducted ourselves over the last few years as Door of Grace, I've asked three questions of you, and I'm going to ask those again, because I think as we take a look at the vision for what is the Church of Jesus Christ supposed to be, what is God's vision for the church, there are three questions that really particularly strike my heart. And each of us make choice. Everybody look up at me and say, I make choice. I make choice. That's what it's all about. We make choices in Jesus Christ. The questions are these. One, what kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christian do you want to be? Number two, what kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? Number three, what kind of church do you want to have? What kind of church do you want to have? Life today, especially with Americans, is seen as a smorgasbord of choices. I go to the buffet line of Christianity, and I pick and choose the particular parts I like, and some I really load on my plate, and others I don't even touch. That's how a lot of people see Christianity. Isn't that right? Come on, you can talk to me this morning. Isn't that right? Isn't that how a lot of people see Christianity? Let me ask you an honest question. Is that how the Bible shows us Christianity is? We want to be the kind of Christians Jesus wants us to be. We want to be the kind of Christians and live the kind of Christianity and have the kind of church that Jesus wants us to have. And we find that according to the Word of God. How many love the Bible? We love the Bible. We want to live according to the Scriptures. We want to do our best to let Him change us and transform our thinking and continue to change our lives so that we can be the kind of Christians, the kind of church, and live the kind of Christianity He wants us to live. Amen? And all the people said a resounding
amen.
Amen. This is called a living and active faith for Door of Grace. The first teachings of building your faith have dealt with receiving what God has done for you. Or, if you will, getting Christ into you. These last lessons, as we conclude building your faith, are all about what's expected of us as believers, how we can respond to Him, or getting you into Christ's body. Getting Christ into you, getting you into Christ's body. The issue is there is a growth expected of us. There is a responsive heart expected of us. Anybody can pick and choose. You can do what you want. But my responsibility as a pastor and our responsibility as a church is to go to the Scriptures and say, okay, Lord, what is it you want? Anybody can disagree with me. I always ask that you disagree agreeably, that we keep a good fellowshipping spirit. Anybody can attend. Anybody can be more than an attender. It's your choice. But to me, the most important element here is, what does Jesus want for us? What does God want for us? And how can we respond to Him? Let's talk about the church. How many have ever heard the Greek word ecclesia? Ecclesia. Ecclesia is the word in the Greek for church. And it literally means an assembly of called out people. An assembly of called out people. We are called out of the world, if you will, to be separate unto God. Does that mean we never have any dealings with anybody in the world? We don't go to the grocery store? No, that's not what that means. But it means in our heart and in our life, we don't attempt to conform ourselves to the ways of the world. We attempt to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We're wanting to look like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, be like Him in this earth. The word Christians is what? Little Christs. Little Christ, people who wanted to be and want to be just like Him. They were first called Christians at Antioch, is what the Scripture says. That was the word they put on these people, these followers of Jesus who were radical followers because they wanted to be like Him. And that's what it means to be the church and to be Christians. Called out people. We're called out of the world to be separated unto God. Church is, and your next fill-in is, the word people. Church is people. Now, we come here, and we've got wood, and we've got stones, and especially in this building, we've got wood, and we've got wood. We're a panel boat here. We've got a lot of wood here. But the issue is, that's not the church. You're the church. You're going to look at me and say, I'm the church. People are the church. And we come and we celebrate in a facility that God has provided for us. But it's the people of God who are the church of God. The word is never used in Scripture to refer to a building. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Matthew 16, verse 18. On this rock I will build my church. How many of you understand it's His church? Not Kevin's church, not Charlie's church, not your church. It's His church. That's why we've got to try to get into the Word and understand, okay, Lord, since it is your church, what is it you want for your church? What is your church supposed to look like, supposed to be like, supposed to act like, supposed to be like in this earth? It's His church. Ephesians 5, 23 and 27. Christ is the head of the church, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The local body of people, the local church, is a people who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who have been called out from the world and into and under His government and authority. Now, that may not sound very important, but that's huge. Okay, when we get saved, we are not just called out of sin. We don't just come out of the negative to the zero. You understand that? We're not just out of the bondage of sin into nothingness. We're not just called out of sin into, I do what's right in my own eyes, now I'm free, praise God, I'm forgiven, I feel good, feel better, bye-bye. That's not what it's all about. We are called out of sin and into Him. Out of sin and into Him. His government, His authority in my life. When we say, I surrender all, it literally means, I surrender to your government, your authority. All right, now I belong to you. And Jesus, though this may not always be comfortable, isn't that true? Is Christianity always comfortable? Does Jesus always make you feel comfortable in your chair?
No.
What is a pastor's job? To afflict the comforted and comfort the afflicted? Anyway, He calls us into a surrendered relationship with Him, where I say, okay, Lord, I put on this harness. I want to be what You want me to be. I want to be just like You. I don't want to wander and just go do my own thing. I want to be the kind of Christian You want me to be. I want to live the kind of Christianity You want me to live. Lord, I long to be a part of a church that wants to be the kind of church You want us to be. And it doesn't matter if that church is large or small. It doesn't matter. What matters is a heart commitment, passionate desire to run after Jesus with everything within us. I'm not satisfied to just say I got saved 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 5 minutes ago. What I'm not satisfied with is something from yesterday's manna, but I want something fresh and alive today. I want to be like Jesus today. I want to be the church of Jesus Christ today. In Port Ludlow, especially in Port Ludlow. Especially in Port Ludlow, especially in Port Hadlock, Port Townsend, Port Chinookum, especially in all these places. You know, this is where, look, the church needs to be the church, and the church isn't some anemic, pasty little thing that's just a half attempt to be where we tell a couple of poems on Sunday morning, pat you on the back, say, go home, feel good, and just ooze out all day long. The church is where we go, what's the Bible say to us today? How does God want me to live today? I got to go home from church where I smiled at You and live it in a real way with my husband or wife and my kids. How do You want me to live, oh God? I got grandkids to face, and I got children to face, and I used to have a cat to face. Anyway, I got things to face, and real relationships. Lord, You want me to live it real today. So what does this mean to my life? When I come to church, it is to encourage me. It is to strengthen me. It's to strengthen us all together as each of us do everything we can to run hard after the Lord. I forget what's behind. I press forward for what's before me. The prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't you know there's something out ahead? It's being more like Him. It's bringing His kingdom on earth. Don't you know we're not done until this earth is His and we all act like Him and talk like Him and walk like Him and be like Him? What's your vision this morning? What is your vision this morning? A living, active vision. Yeah, oh, come on. You're just a little church in a panel boat in Port Ludlow. Should write a song, Little Church in a Panel Boat in Port Ludlow. That works good. We're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, where we join forces and hands with people all across the face of the planet. The Bible tells us He will cover this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Oh man, can't you see it in your mind's eye? What are you seeing this morning? Do you see Jesus high and lifted up where He draws all men to Himself, where people come and say, I see it, I see it, I see Jesus. He's the answer for life. My life's been a wreck, it's been a shambles. Jesus is the one who can deliver me. My life has been miserable. Jesus is the one who can deliver me. My life is great. I'm a billionaire, but I still love Jesus. Would you love all the billionaires to come to Jesus? And then just tithe to your church? What vision do you see this morning? A called out people to be separate, to be what God wants us to be. A local body of people under His government, under His authority. How many of you understand, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've been here, but how many of you understand there are a lot of people who attend church that want nothing to do with the government and authority of Jesus? People go to church on Sunday mornings for a variety of reasons, fewer and fewer over the course of time. But some go to church because it makes them feel better. Some go to church because they just enjoy the people they're with. But the issue of the Bible is we go to church to be under His government, under His authority, to surrender and be more like Him, to learn more of His ways. Come and let us go. The song many of you didn't know. It's an old song, but come and let us go. Come straight from the Scripture. To the house of the Lord, to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us of His ways. He will write His word. Where? Where is His word to be written? On our hearts and on our minds. Transform thinking. Being more like Jesus. What's the heartbeat of Door of Grace? Your next point. If Christianity is anything, it is everything. It is everything. Does that mean you're just a monk, Kevin? You don't have anything to do with people all day long? No, that's not true. But in my heart, my passion, my priority is walking with Jesus. And if Christianity is anything, it's everything. We get together because we love Him and we want to be like Him. Isn't that true? Our goal at this church is to help you be full-heartedly involved in becoming like Jesus and establishing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Some people, and I don't think I'm looking at them, some people don't want a substance-oriented Christianity where they want the substance of the word. Some people don't want that. Every one of us have a choice to make. What kind of Christianity do you want to live? Door of Grace Ministries, point number two, loving Jesus and loving each other. Folks, we're real and sincere about wanting to live that. Now, I didn't notice, I didn't say we are perfect in living that. Look at each other and smile. You can look at each other and say, you might be perfect, but I'm not yet, okay? You might be perfect, but I'm not yet. But we are serious about wanting to be changed, to be more like Him, to live that better than ever before. Do you understand that walking with Jesus is a relationship of growth and change? Growth and change to be more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And really, frankly, the Greek of glory to glory, if you take a look at the meaning of those words, you go into it and it means from one successful, completed dealing of God in my life to another one. God continues to change me, to grow me, to work with me day by day. Now, if 30 years after you gave your life to the Lord, you're still dealing with the same issue you were dealing with 30 years ago, then you probably haven't grown. It's time for some fresh growth. But God's going to deal with you today about stuff, and tomorrow about stuff, and next week about stuff, because He's continuing to change us to be more like Jesus. Unless you're perfect. Anybody in this room perfect? No? Okay. I didn't give you a lot of time to answer, because I think I knew the answer. Nevertheless. Out of the Message Bible, that verse says this, our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. That's neat. At Door of Grace Ministries, we never force anybody into anything. We don't force food. We don't force this. We don't force the scripture. We have willing participants. Especially afterwards, when I say you're dismissed, there's a whole crew of people up at the table, willing participants. But you see, the hungry make choice. Isn't that a good illustration? If there's one thing we know how to do very well at Door of Grace, it's eat because we're hungry. That's right. That's right. In scriptural principles, first comes the natural, then the spiritual. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, we are hungry for growth. We don't force anything on anybody. But that hunger has to be in our lives as Christians. That's what causes us to come to church. That's what causes us to want to be like Him, because I'm hungry to be His. Door of Grace Ministries, next point, is committed to helping you succeed. The word is succeed in every aspect of life, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is interested in every area of life, from the salvation of your spirit to your daily walk with other people. We are here to help as much as we can for those who want that kind of help. Again, hungry people respond to opportunities. And that's what we try to provide, opportunities for growth in the Lord. All right, what's our statement of purpose? Door of Grace has a statement of purpose. And it goes like this. Our purpose is to, number one, exalt Jesus in worship. Exalt Jesus in worship. That's first and foremost, isn't it? We're His. He's looking for those who want to worship Him. Number two, evangelize the lost. Evangelize the lost. So we reach out with good news to those who need it, to those who aren't saved. Number three, establish believers on the solid foundation of faith. Establish believers on the solid foundation of faith. We never assume people don't have teaching. A lot of people that come to this church have had years and years and years of teaching. That's fantastic. But then what is it we believe here? And it is never wrong to revisit the foundations to get stronger in the Lord. Do you think? I mean, can you visit a message on repentance too much? Or faith? Or baptisms? No, you really can't. So we establish believers on the solid foundation of faith. And number four, we empower Christians for ministry. We empower Christians for ministry. We exalt Jesus. We evangelize the lost. We establish believers on the solid foundation of faith. And we empower Christians for ministry. Just about every single thing, in fact, every single thing we do as a church comes under one of those four things. It gives you a quick summation with four E's. Isn't that easy to remember? Exalt, evangelize, establish, and empower. What is it this church stands for? Those things are identification with what we believe the Scripture teaches and what this church stands for. Let's talk about them one by one. Number one, exalting Jesus in worship. Our first, your filling is first. Our first priority as Christians is to love, adore, and worship our Lord Jesus. Everything else springs from that, folks. We don't get worship right. We don't get heart for Jesus right. You don't have real Christianity. Loving Jesus and loving each other. We can love a lot of people, but real love is going to come from first loving Him. The Bible says if we lift Him up, He will what? Draw all men and women to Himself. So we begin with a worship of Jesus without apology. Can we grow in worship? Absolutely we can grow in worship. But our first heart's focus is to worship Him. You shall love the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, with all. How much?
All.
I'm sorry, church. How much was that?
All.
All your heart. With all your soul. With all your strength. That means everything you've got to do, everything your hand finds to do, you put passion and priority into a lot of things. But the Bible tells us as Christians, first and foremost, put your passion, put your priority, put your life, put your love and your adoration to Jesus. First and foremost. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. John 4, verse 23, the hour is coming now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Look at each other saying, the Father is seeking you. Say that to each other. The Father is seeking you. Turn to somebody else. Say it. The Father is seeking you. Father seeking you. The military branch of the service might want you, but the Father especially is seeking you. And what is he seeking? He's looking for worshipers. People who will worship him with their life, with the way they live, the way they think, their attitude of heart and their actions all day long, in addition to their song. How many of you understand worship is more than just the songs we sing on Sunday morning? Worship is our entire life before God. There is no split between living here for an hour or two on Sunday morning and then going out and living the rest of the week. The purpose of Christianity, and I'll say it straight, is not to be nice in church and then go live like hell the rest of the week. Okay? I'm not swearing. I'm saying literally like hell, like full of the demon horns of hell. We're not here to chase after the world. We're here to please Jesus. And it's more than just for an hour or two on Sunday morning. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
That's right. We're getting filled up with gas, Royals, so we can go out and putter along for Jesus all week long. All right. At Door of Grace, we are passionately committed to lifting up Jesus in worship and to help us understand how to be better worshipers. We want people, first and foremost, to know in whom they have believed, in intimacy with him. Pastor Sherry's great gift for the body of Christ, really, not just here, not just in Eastern Washington, but for the body of Christ, one of the greatest gifts she offers to the body of Christ are how-tos and how to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the most powerful parts of her, if you've known her, reason she glows is she loves that relationship with Jesus. We are blessed to have her here with us to open and inspire us with these comments and scriptures, the Hebrew, the Greek, etc., to inspire us into worship. It's a blessing of God. So thank God that we get to get together and worship Jesus. That's what we want to do first and foremost. May I encourage you, Sunday mornings, Thursday night grace gatherings, we take an intimate time of worship on Thursday nights as well. Turn off the Christian TV, turn off the tapes, and lift up your own voice in worship to God. Your songs, your prayers, your praise. Not that those other things are bad, they're good. But God created you with your voice, and he wants to hear you. You say, I don't sound good. That's all right, the Bible's got a verse for you and me. It says, just then make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. It's all right. We have the Swansonville Boys plus one. Our pianist, Dan's usually here, but Angela's here, and Elaine, and we have them who they play the piano. But you know what? I see a vision where there's other people in a worship band. If you play instruments, the drums, the bass, and I see concerts and retreats. We got 6 acres on this ground. I see a ground full of people who come for worship events. Don't you see that? Can you see that with me? We should be here to worship the Lord and do other things. And first and foremost, we are worshipers. I see us being able to offer a choir for Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas events. And we can, you know, the problem is, if you have 30 voices or 50 voices and they're all in the choir and there's nobody left to sing it on key out in the seats, that's why our choir is among us, right? We don't stick a choir up front, everybody, because lots of times that becomes a performance thing. And people go, well, I can't sing that good. No, but for great events, Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, it'd be wonderful to have a choir and do some of those events, wouldn't it? Yeah. All right. Get your voice tuned up, right? Yeah. All right. Number two, evangelize the lost. Evangelize the lost, those who have not yet discovered that Jesus is Lord. Your fill-in is this, local and regional evangelism. Local and regional evangelism. Our job is to spread the word of God. I see a time of Door of Grace as a regional church, reaching out to the region, reaching out to the county at large. Port Ludlow, Hadlock, Townsend, Timicum, on beyond, Quilcene, Grinnan, people driving here from other locations. Why shouldn't they be driving across the Hood Canal Bridge to come to church here? Why should it just be that people drive across the Hood Canal Bridge to go to church somewhere else? Amen. Preach it, Pastor Jeff. But see, you know, we have a crazy mixed up society. People will drive a long way to go to a concert, drive a long way to go to a movie, drive a long way for some great food. But church? Why shouldn't people drive? to come to church. Because the people of Jesus radiate his presence, love others who come, and there's a big banner, and under his wings, people can come to trust. So we reach out in a regional way, not just here locally, but beyond, to spread the kingdom of God. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Look at your feet. Say, they're beautiful. Do you have good news to share with other people? Amen? Do you have good news? All right, Mark 16, 15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Acts 1, verse 8, "You shall be witnesses to me." Where? In Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria. You got the city, you got the county, you got the country. We have a great commission mentality, your next fill-in, in every area of life. In every area of life. How many of you understand the goal of God is not just we have jobs or live the comfort life of retirement in our resort communities, but in every aspect of life, we're called to be expressors of Jesus. We are called to take him into every element, every place. Do you understand when you walked into that room, Jesus walked into that room? Hello? Are you breathing? It's true. The presence of God came into that room. When you're in an elevator and there's somebody intimidating, you just need to recognize greater is he that's in me than he who's in he or she. Let them come under conviction from the presence of the Lord if they're not walking with Jesus. You have no reason to be ashamed. Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And when you go into that room, he's there. Do you understand that we're talking about Christianity as the Bible talks about, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? You know the church is to be a lighthouse. That's our graphic. That's our logo now, if you will. A lighthouse, because the church is a lighthouse where the light is broadcast and it's a beacon for people to come and find light in the midst of their darkness. Number two, worldwide evangelism. Worldwide evangelism or missions. Matthew 9, 37 and 38, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Folks, that's why service is so important. We get together, we serve, and we work together because God's raising up laborers. And as we spend time together in the Word together and in worship together, we're better equipped as laborers to go out and reach the world with Jesus. We sing a song every now and then, "Shout to the North, to the South, to the East, and to the West." What are we shouting? We're shouting the good news of Jesus. There's good news, and his name is Jesus. There's an answer for life, and his name is Jesus. There's an answer for your problem. His name is Jesus. Now, I didn't say, come to Christ, all your problems will be gone. Is anybody in this room that happened to you? You came to Jesus, you gave your life to him, no more problems ever again as long as you live. Let me see your hand. You can come on up and finish the message. Not that way, folks. That's not real. And too often, I will tell you sincerely, too often people have preached that kind of message. If you got faith, brother, if you got faith, you can drive a Cadillac. You got more bankrupt Christians who tried to go out and drive those Cadillacs. If you got faith, all your problems will be gone. I had a brother who was a faith brethren from the background, and I was having a particular physical need for my son to get ear tubes in his ears. So I was at a pastor's meeting, and I just kind of sweet of spirit said, "Would you all please pray for me, my son? You know, it's not a big deal, but he's going through surgery. He's a bit afraid." And this guy condemned me from right to the left, from beginning to the end. Just had such a condemnatory spirit that I was not of faith. Came to find out about 2 months later that about 2 weeks before my sharing of the need, his son had gone in and had ear tubes put in him. Only he never bothered to share that. I don't know if it was shame or what it was, but his theology wouldn't allow a need in a life. Well, the scriptural theology is the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Problems happen. Problems happen to Christians. I'd love to tell you, come to Jesus, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and prosperity will just abound through your fingertips, but that would be a lie. That's not what the Bible says. There is suffering. There is need. There is difficulty that happens. The big difference is you've got Jesus Christ and a family of people to walk through those difficulties with you. Isn't that true? Man, I'm grateful that I'm in a family of people that when my times are needy, other people can walk with me. Thank God we're not all down at the same moment. That'd be a great Sunday morning message, wouldn't it? Hi, are you all happy? No, nobody's happy. Okay, well, in closing, thank God we get to help each other in the body of Christ. All right, worldwide evangelism. Lift your vision. Folks, the issue is lift your vision for what you can do for Jesus. It's not just younger people who can do something for Jesus. Every single person in this room has a ministry. Has a ministry from God. The Bible says every joint supplies. Not just the younger ones. Every joint supplies. Even the retired joints supply. Every joint supplies. Has life to give. Something to contribute. Here at this church, we support missions locally, regionally. We feed the hungry and support those missions. We feed the hungry and we support missions where they build homes for the needy. We support missions where they feed those on the streets in Seattle. And we give to missions abroad in India, in Russia, in Uganda, in Mexico, in Tel Aviv, in Ghana. We give to around the world missions. I will tell you, as your pastor, I believe if we cut off missions, we cut off the life of God to our church. That may sound old-fashioned, but I believe God has called us to give. God has called us to give. We've got a message, and it's worth running through the earth with. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we give. I don't want to see us come to a place where we, if we someday build a building, we cut off all our missionary support because we can't afford them. I think we will then truly not be able to afford anything, including the building we're building. Okay? We keep giving, folks. Door of Grace is called to be salt and light to our region and to the world. Now, I do look forward to younger people coming into the church. Now, everybody in this room, raise one hand. Go ahead, raise one hand. Say, I am younger, Pastor Kevin. But I look forward to younger people and teens and people who want to take short-term mission trips. I look forward to taking trips to Israel together and to the Middle East. I look forward to doing things and where we're supporting our own missions someday, missionaries out from this church. I look forward to it. I see a church where we are involved in ministry locally, regionally, and around the world. We're doing that now, but I think we'll even be doing it more. I believe that there's going to even be pastors and their teams who will come to our beautiful region, to this church, for a time of retreat from different places throughout the states, maybe even from the world, that will come here to be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. You will have a chance to bless them. They will have a chance to bless you, and they can then go refreshed back to their place of heart. Harvest and labor. As a church, let's lift our vision. God wants us to give away what He's given to us. Now, I'm going to transition, though. I want to talk to you about something that makes us distinct as a church. And I'm not just here to talk about us, but it is about us. It's a living and active vision for Door of Grace Ministry. So, yes, I am here to talk about us. There's something I believe that God has called us to that not every place recognizes this. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's a distinctive that you need to understand. The Scripture talks about more for the Church of Jesus Christ than simply being a saving station. A saving station is important, where people come and give their life to Jesus. All the angels in heaven rejoice when one repents. Okay? We all agree. We're all on the same page, right?
Yes.
But there's something you're supposed to do with those people who get saved. You don't just get saved and then wander on or wander off. There's something you're supposed to do. The Great Commission is quoted everywhere. You're supposed to go. Go and preach. Go and preach. We like to do that, right? We like to go and preach. I like to preach. You like to preach? You like to preach. She's great. Anyway, okay. But you know what that scripture really says? Go and make disciples. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, church. Go and make disciples. The Church of Jesus isn't just a saving station. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to establish, to equip, so when the storms of life come, people are established to stand strong in their relationship with Jesus. So when it comes time and they're faced with somebody who's needy, who needs prayer, who needs deliverance, you don't just look at them and say, well, I'm sorry, I couldn't get my pastor, the phone's busy, I guess you're on your own. But we know we've got the goods. And so we establish, we equip, we empower Christians who are ministers. And that's what we spend a lot of time in this church about. Teaching the Word of God. Background, culture, understanding, serious Christianity. What does the Bible teach us? Because we need to be established, we need to be equipped. And that's our third point. Establishing believers on the solid foundation of faith. Establishing believers on the solid foundation of faith. We need that, you know, when it says go and make disciples, that means formulate, fashion, work with them so their minds are transformed, their hearts are renewed. Let the Word of God get into the heart, transform the thinking, new thoughts, being Christians in this earth. It's more than just a name only. Now we're talking about knowing not just in whom you have believed, but knowing what you believed. All right, now, your fill-in is this. We help you know Jesus personally and intimately, to know in whom you have believed, and to let Him know you. To let Him know you. Philippians 3, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know Him. Matthew 7, 23, I never knew you, He says. Pastor Sherry's going to teach a lesson on that in a few weeks. Fantastic lesson. We let Jesus know us, how? By worship. Personal and corporate worship, taking set apart time with Him in prayer, our daily time with Him in the Word. We let Jesus know Him by listening to Him. I encourage you, we encourage you, write down the things He says to you, keep track of it. As you, a lot of people do that as a prayer journal. You know, you go and pray and you pour your heart out and you keep track of the answered prayers that God has given you. We help you fully surrender to His Lordship. This is part of being established on the solid foundation. Confessing with the mouth, Romans 10:9 says, the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2, 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I'm sorry, how many? How many did that leave out? How many?
None.
That's powerful. I don't think we'll get there by being a bunch of harsh, strident people, but I do think we'll get there by continuing to proclaim the love, the life, and the name of Jesus. We help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and in the Word and what the Word desires of you. This means your next fill-in is growth. Growth in personal holiness. Hebrews 12:14, pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Pastor Kev, why do you keep talking about this changing of our lives business? I just want to attend church on Sunday morning, sing a few songs, and go home. Get off my case. I'm not trying to be on your case. The Holy Spirit though, requires something of us. It's called continuing to change to be more like Him. Be ye holy because He is holy. That's what the Bible says. This includes building your faith and learning how to walk with God and helping you understand repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Spirit, the sacraments, foot washing, communion. By the way, so you are understanding, let me just say this clearly and I say this sweetly. This is not a legalistic thing. But many times people say, how do I get to know Jesus? How do I get started right? We produced a pamphlet so you can put it in their hands. That's what building your faith is all about. So people can understand some of the essential foundations of faith. Then other people come along and say, well, what does your church teach? Have them take building your faith. It's like an expanded statement of faith, if you will, about what do we believe the Scripture teaches. Then other people say, how do I join the church? And what we ask is that people take building your faith. Turn in the response to the truth sheets and we'll grow together in the Lord. Something, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I don't need any of this. Sure, no problem. I'm not saying you haven't had teaching. That's great. But you need to therefore then know what is it we believe here the Scripture teaches and we grow together. The Bible says, know well those who labor among you. All right. So taking an essential foundation series does not mean you're starting over or adding works to your salvation, but it's an understanding and a common ground as we build church together. All right, your next fill-in. The most growth comes to those the most hungry for Jesus. That makes sense, doesn't it? The most growth comes to those most hungry for Jesus. We provide Bible teaching for those who are hungry for Him and His Word. I've already talked about, I believe people will drive if they know there's something to feed them. You know, the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, this teaching is to transform our thinking, and we have the mind of Christ. We are to renew our minds, Romans 12, verse 2. We're to be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8, 29, Scriptures with which you're familiar. But we've got a host of other classes. Pastor Sherry teaches several semesters of a class called Mirror, Maturity in Relationships, Reaction or Response, Biblical Understanding of Personalities. There's a lot of teaching out there, but to understand it redemptively is really a powerful thing and helping us relate even better with each other. We've got 4 more years in addition to this, a very solid Bible teaching, background and perspective of the Old Testament, background and perspective of the New. We could begin a Bible Institute for any hungry people who wanted to begin those kinds of things. Pastor Carl's a great teacher, and things like the tabernacle and understanding those things. We can gather together with hungry people, and there's room for growth, and we're going to grow. We're going to grow in understanding more and more of the Word of God and in helping people be solidly established in their faith. Is that what you want?
Yes.
That's who we are as a church. Being solidly established on the solid rock and foundation in Christ is your feeling is not optional, but crucial to your ongoing relationship with Jesus. Are taking these other classes I've mentioned, are they optional? Well, sure they are. But you having a solid foundation as a Christian, that's not optional. That's what the Bible says you need to have. By the way, we'll begin home care fellowship groups for those who might desire them. Tests will come, folks. Tests are going to come. The storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. But those who built their foundation on the solid rock of Christ, your filling is coming, and His Word will what? Stand when the tough times and storms come. And they will. All right, number 4. Empower is your filling. Empower Christians for ministry. We help you know Jesus' Word. We help you know what you believe here at Door of Grace. It is the solid equipping in the Word of God, and your next fill-in's coming up, that empowers you to activated ministry to others. The solid equipping in the Word of God that empowers you to activated ministry. How many of you understand the answers for life are found in a personal relationship with Jesus, and they're found in His Word? I can give you my poetry all day long, and it won't change your life. I can give you wonderful, great treatises that are written by great authors. It won't change your life. The Word of God will change your life. The Bible will change your life. Walking with Jesus will change your life. And that's a good thing. My people, Hosea says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Joshua 1, verse 8, you've just been reading it if you're doing the daily Bible reading. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. We talk all the time about Bible reading and Bible teaching and Bible understanding here at Door of Grace. We get together on Thursday nights. We have a great time because we're sitting around a table and people share from, well, what do you think about this? Man, we had a great series of questions Thursday night. And one question got asked, what do you think about this? And out it came as a section of Scripture. And I said, you know, that's a great question. Who else has a different one? We grow in understanding the Word of God together, and it's just such a joy to have a rich time in Bible study. Do you love your Bible?
Yes.
I mean, do you love your Bible?
Yes.
That's what this is about. I didn't just read it once 25 years ago and say, okay, that's good. There it is, sit on my shelf, collect dust. My TV guide gets more used than my Bible. Got quiet in here. Not in this church, amen? Not in my home, not in your home, not in this church. It's the Bible that helps us find our way of living, or find our direction. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent, or another translation says, study to show yourself approved to God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Say with me, I have a share. I have a part to play. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. We all have something important to do to help others in Jesus Christ. We provide Bible teaching for right thinking, to help us have the mind of Christ, to understand who Jesus is in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and who we are in Christ, to have a right Christian worldview. That doesn't mean I put politics on you. I don't. That's not what that means. But how do we think Christianly? How do we think biblically? We've got a vision at Door of Grace for successful, victorious Christian living to occupy this earth until He comes. The vision for Christianity in the Bible is not, I'm barely going to scrape by and maybe someday if I'm lucky I'll get in the right group and get snatched away. Are you breathing? If there's a snatching away, some people, I'm not even going to go there, but if you're in the right group walking with Jesus, then you'll get snatched when the snatching comes. Pastor Carl for 30 years taught this phrase, and I'll give it to you here. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. I encourage you, write that down on your paper. What's your perspective on the end times, Pastor Kev? What is it? I mean, you go to the book of Revelation, teach us a series on the book of Revelation. When is the rapture? What's going to happen? Is there a rapture? Who can, you know, I want you to teach us on the end time, okay? I have one message. It'd take me about 15 seconds. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. I don't know what's all going to happen in the end times, folks. I think most of our charts that we've developed earlier in our lives have probably not come to pass, and we've had to throw them away or alter them by now. I know that I've got plenty of questions, and you might too, for Jesus someday. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? I don't know. But I do know that if we'll get ready and get right with God, if we'll grow in Him, if we'll get ready and then we'll stay ready, we don't wander away, but we walk with Him day by day, and we come to church to grow, and then we keep growing in Jesus by His grace. No matter what happens, we'll be in the right group, we'll be at the right place. Building your faith, building your church, building your ministry, solid Bible teaching, history, culture, practical living, how to apply the Word of God to our lives. We will grow in ministry to children, and we look forward to families as more and more families come into the church, and we will grow in our ministry to children as we have more and more families come. We'll provide continued exposure to different guest ministries that bring a broader perspective of Christianity. Sometimes it is immensely encouraging to have someone come in and lift your vision about what's happening around the body of Christ around the world. Daily exhorting one another is something we believe in. We help each other grow. All right, next point. We encourage and help each Christian be conformed. There's your word, conformed to the image of Jesus. We are here to feed the hungry. Conformed and hungry. Therefore, go make disciples. Whom He foreknew, Romans 8:29, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. How many of you understand Christian maturity is basically growing and expressing Jesus more every day. Being an expressor of Jesus more and better every day. Here at this church, we say loving Jesus and loving each other, we try to provide that in real ways and live it. We provide real relationships. You'll see as your notes say, we provide real relationship in community where we really learn to live out the reality of what this Christianity is all about. Does that mean we always get along perfectly? You surprise me. No, we don't. But you know what? Where there's commitment to be what He wants us to be and to be a family, we stay together and work it out if there's a problem. That's real Christianity. Doesn't mean there's not an issue. It means when there is, we work it out. The multitude of those who believed, Acts 4:32, were of one heart and one soul. 1 Corinthians 1:10, all I plead with you, brethren, Paul was saying, by the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Speak the what thing? And that there be no divisions among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It's important to God. We emphasize that the church is a family. How many want Door of Grace to be a place where great-grandchildren and grandchildren and parents and grandparents are all here worshiping God together? I see a healthy church being a church of multitudinous generations where we can come and worship God together. I don't know how many will get of any particular group. I know that Port Ludlow is changing. You realize Port Ludlow is changing, don't you? It used to just be called a retirement community. Port Ludlow is not just a retirement community. It is a resort community. There really is about a third families with children. There's about a third baby boomers, and there's about a third who are in retirement age. It's not just a resort community. And the whole area, of course, is far more than just what live in Port Ludlow. And so healthy church is having a multitude of generations worshiping God together. We provide a family for people, and space for children's ministries, and training tools for parents, and we will grow in that as we have more and more. We'll provide family for singles. How many of you understand the Bible says He places the solitary in families? Amen? It doesn't matter if you're a widow, a widower, if you're a divorcee, it doesn't matter, or if you've never been married. What matters is there's a place in the family of God for you, for me. Personal ministry, your next villain, to help you find success in life. We provide that as well. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Your next point, the training of servants with servants' hearts. It's one of the things we believe in, a living, an active vision. Pardon me? The training of servants with servants' hearts. We're all involved in service in order to have the servants' hearts Jesus has commanded. How many of you understand Jesus was the greatest servant? The greatest servant. How many understand, therefore, we're to be like him? All right. Your next fill-ins. If there is no service, if there is no service or servant's heart, there is no Christianity because there's no Christ-likeness. No service or servant's heart, no Christianity. Galatians 5:13 tells us, through love, serve one another. Matthew 20 says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Your next point, we want to see the full development of each person's giftings. Your fill-in is giftings. Every member of minister, say that with me, would you? Every member of minister. Every person has a place. Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Romans 12, 6, we have gifts differing, but let us use our gifts. For those who desire training and opportunity in ministry, we are committed to the, your next fill-in, multiplication of ministry. It's up on the board so you can see how it's spelled. The multiplication of ministry. Folks, when we go with God's vision, he really knows how to do it right. Let me make a simple point. If I try to come out and reach the whole world by myself, I might be successful at adding one at a time to the church, right? Mm-hmm. Well, believe in me at least to say, yeah, that's right, Pastor Jeff, you'll be successful at it. All right? But what does multiplication mean? What does the Bible mean? The Bible teaches us that the saints do the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible teaches us. Not just the pastors who do the work of the ministry. The saints do the work of the ministry. I'll read that scripture in a moment. But the point is, if I can reach 5 or 10 and help them with training and establishing, who then in turn reach 5 or 10 and train them in ministry, and on it goes, you don't just have addition to the body of Christ. You have exponential multiplication to the body of Christ. How are we going to reach the world for Jesus? One at a time. But each one reaching one means exponential growth. Make sense? Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Listen to the phrase, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. At Door of Grace, we believe the Scripture shows us, your next fill-in, the value of speaking and believing the same thing. The same thing. Does that mean I can't disagree? Well, of course you can, with an agreeable spirit. Sure. But overall, on the majors, folks, we should be majoring and agreeing. Okay, make sense? That you all speak the same thing. 1 Corinthians 1:10, it's what the Bible tells us how to live this thing. We're committed to raising up and empowering Christians in spiritual ministry if they so desire. We look for those who want to be members and minister through Door of Grace to believe these things, experience these things, so they in turn can give away these things to others. I mean, you understand not everybody in the Church of Jesus Christ is called to leadership. We understand that. Some desire simply to attend services. You are most welcome here. Never come to Thursday Night Grace Gathering? That's fine. You're most welcome here. Some desire to really be involved and join the church and grow in ministry. You are most welcome here. Some desire to be trained in spiritual ministry to others. We are here to help. You are most welcome here. Let's conclude with some final thoughts. Door of Grace has a progressive, forward-looking, forward-moving vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29 tells us, or they dwell carelessly. That's what the Bible says. The word perish, they perish without a vision. It means dwell carelessly, just like the song we sang. Without a progressive vision, you dwell carelessly. You lose focus, you lose your intensity. We see a far-off vision. The Bible portrays a vision of the return of the Lord. The Bible envisions and portrays a vision where this earth is covered with His glory like the waters cover the sea. The Bible tells us our labor is to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible tells us it is a lot more than just going to church on Sunday morning, but we're part of a greater whole where there is a vision, there is a perspective, there is a tying in and joining forces with others who want to help bring Jesus Christ and usher His presence into this earth. The Bible says it is a full-hearted, full-lived, fully-orbed walk with God. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? We have room to grow. We have this building. We have 6 acres. As we grow in this building, we'll take these walls down. As we continue consistently, where people are filling up all the chairs, go reach your friends. Go reach your families. Bring them to church. Say it to others. Go get your friends and family. We'll take the walls down. We got partitions. We can partition around the pastor space. We can build partitions around children's space. The issue isn't numbers, though. If you think I'm talking just numbers, you've missed my heart and intent of what I believe the Scripture says. And it's not what I'm saying this morning, but I believe numbers are involved as we reach people one by one for Jesus Christ. I believe we are to grow and continue to bring a full-hearted ministry to this area. As a church, we provide services and ministry to you. However, each believer at Door of Grace also has responsibilities. Number one, what are our responsibilities? Continue to maintain a close communion with Jesus. You fill in His communion, a close communion with Jesus. Fully cooperate to express Him through you. John 14:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. Number two, what are our responsibility as a believer? Number two, continue daily in His Word. Continue daily in His Word. If you abide in my Word, John 8 says, you are my disciples indeed. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayers. Number three, continue to attend services regularly. Hebrews 10 tells us, Hebrews 10, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't that great? You see, turning to each other and saying, hey man, church is tomorrow. Let's go to church. Isn't that what's exciting? Let's go to church. Why do you want to go to church? Because it's exciting. Because there's a vision for what God's doing. Is Pastor Kevin an exciting preacher? Yeah. I'm just having fun with it. But there should be an excitement in our hearts. Amen. Come and let us go to the house of the Lord, to the mountain of the Lord. He'll teach us of His ways, and we'll learn to walk in His paths. That's what church is all about. Press into Jesus, number four, to opportunities for growth, to enjoy His Word and worship. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Listen to this, verses 1 and 15. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. He who heeds counsel is wise. Let's not be stupid. Let's not be foolish. Let's gather together and keep growing in the ways of the Lord. Maintain, number five, godly relationships with one another, a real church where we refuse to engage in a spirit of backbiting and gossip, but have a full-hearted commitment to, say it with me, please, you have it in front of you, believe the best and be the best with one another. Can you say amen? The Church of Jesus is a refuge for one another. A lot of people have been hurt. Let's be a refuge for each other. And number six, continue to have an eager, fully committed heart attitude, and you will be building your faith. Have an eager, fully committed heart attitude. You'll be building your faith. Colossians 3. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Jude 1, verse 3. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly for the faith. Pour out your heart. Forget what's behind. Reach forward to what's before. Do you see Jesus? Do you see His kingdom? Is His kingdom worth living for? Is He worth living for? Is the church of Jesus Christ worth building? Is it worth seeing His glory cover this earth as the waters cover the sea? Is it worth being alive in Christ for? A living, an active vision. It's called more than just Sunday morning church. It's called 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I want to be what God wants me to be. Can you say amen? I want to look like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to act like Him. I want to think like Him. I want to have His mind. I want to have His heart. So Lord, write Your word in my heart and in my mind. And when You do, I'll be a part of a living and active vision. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to be here together this morning. And we pray, Lord, that You will be glorified in our lives. Lord, we stand here this morning and we say amen to Your vision. Build Your church Your way. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Lord, I want to be an alive Christian who wants to be biblical and write Your word on my heart and mind. What kind of Christianity do you want to live? Lord, I want to live a Christianity that's alive and full of purpose, full of vision. Is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause for which I can give my life. What kind of church do you want to be? Lord, I want to be a part of a church that's alive and vibrant in You, where we see Your purpose and we give ourselves to the fulfillment thereof. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.